We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the Sixth Man Show, an Orlando Magic podcast, with your hosts, Luke Sylvia and Jonathan Osborne, covering all things Magic basketball, by fans, for fans. Go Magic! What is going on, Orlando Magic fans? You guys are back with the Sixth Man Show. Today is September 8th, 2022. Jonathan Osborne here. As always, I am joined by my co-host, Luke Sylvia. What's up, Luke?
I'm just hanging out, you know? We're almost there, for what it's worth, and whatever that means, but we're almost there. Training camp, preseason, regular season. It's all coming together. I love when a plan comes together.
How was your weekend, man? You had a pretty eventful weekend, no?
My weekend was splendid. It was wonderful. I got to go to, as I think I might have talked about it last episode, that it was coming up. Obviously, I've talked about college football coming up, as that's really the only thing happening sports-wise in my life, besides now Eurobasket. But yeah, went to a Gator game at the Swamp. Hadn't been able to go to a game since 2018 when I graduated, I think, because we had moved in 2019 to Nebraska. Went to a Nebraska game, two games, while I was out there. And it was good. It was a good atmosphere. They do a really cool thing where, like, team scores, when Nebraska scores the first touchdown, they lit up like these red balloons all up in the air. It looks really sick. A lot of people do it. But there's nothing like the Swamp for me. It was just so much fun. 90,000, almost 91,000 fans in the stadium, where I was able to see the Gators get a win, which was huge over the number 7 team. Gators go from unranked to ranked 12th in the country. So we will be playing against Kentucky, who is 20th in the country, this Saturday. And I have already let my wife know, after the Gators especially are 12th, I was already leaning this way, I'm going to be at the game. It's another night game. I'm going probably with a buddy of mine. She's like, Lauren's like 34 weeks pregnant too. And she went to the game with me. And by the second quarter, she was sitting out like on a bench, like away from everybody. She was like, I thought I could do it, but I just can't. Like, it is so humid and there's people just, you're like packed like sardines. Thankfully, third quarter rolled around. I sat with her at halftime, but third quarter rolled around and some seats had kind of moved a little bit. People weren't as cramped with us. So we sat in our seats for the third, went up to my buddy's press box for the fourth quarter, which was a lot of fun, really different atmosphere in a press box, that's for sure. But still, it was a great time, and the Gators won, so I couldn't complain.
Yeah, I'm happy that they won. Shout out producer Kevin. Mm-hmm. We recorded, like, our recording schedule was kind of weird last week.
Yeah.
It's a little weird this week too. We're recording this on Tuesday, so you're going to hear some things that are like outdated to you all, but I want to shout out producer Kevin. He was in NOLA, mm-hmm, at the Superdome there for FSU versus LSU and saw a pretty exciting game himself there. I know Luke's not all that happy about that, but that was an exhilarating
the end was
finish
exciting.
As well. We're happy for Kevin. At least I'm happy for Kevin.
I'm not happy for Luke, Kevin. But I had LSU over 2017 points, and they had 24 at the very end, right? They score as, or 23. Time expires. I'm thinking we're kicking an extra point, and then really, if LSU can even like kick a field goal, I'm pushing, like, at the very least here. I feel pretty good. LSU like scored three drives in a row at the very end of the game after looking like total trash the first three quarters of the game. First three quarters of the game. So I thought we were for sure we're headed for overtime. I'm sure everybody else did. I'm sure every FSU fan did. But FSU, hats off to them for blocking that extra point. I hate giving kudos to them, but it was a good block and timely. They needed it because wheels were falling off. But it was a fun ending. It was a fun like fourth quarter, I'll say.
And then my Tar Heels with just the massive win over Appalachian State.
Oh my goodness, bro!
63-61. You know what's crazy? I turned that game on and North Carolina was down 21-7.
Yeah.
Scored, I think, 28 unanswered points.
Yeah, they're cooking
at that point. And then I went and took a shower and I come back and like the game is like all of a sudden much closer. And then like the fourth quarter of that game was just like so ridiculous.
But, yeah, App State's a good program, and I think they were favored too. So I mean it was a good win, regardless. It was a high scoring.
It was a fun game. It was a fun game to watch.
The over under could have been 120 and that thing still would have hit, which is wild to me.
Didn't you have the under at like 55.5 or something crazy like that?
Maybe, yeah, probably. No, I had the over. Yeah, I took the over. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then you did all right.
Yeah, no, I was sleeping in the first quarter for sure.
Yeah. So, anyways, we have, I think it's 21 days from today. We're recording this again on the 6th. 21 days from today will be the start of Orlando Magic training camp. Really excited about that. And then before the regular season starts, the final preseason game on October 14th at 7 o'clock. We're doing like a preseason night here at the Six Man Show. We want you guys to come out to the game with us. Help us make some noise in that lower bowl. It should be a fun preseason finale. Again, that is October 14th at 7 o'clock against the Cavs. If you want to join us, you can find tickets at fevo.me/the Six Man Show. Tickets are starting just at $28 a piece, and I think they go as high as $38 a piece, so they are selling quickly. So if you guys, again, want to join us for that game, fevo.me/the Six Man Show. Luke, this is the time of the year where NBA 2K, right before the season starts, where it comes out every single year, much like EA does with Madden, 2K makes a big deal about releasing, you know, individual player rankings, the overalls, their, you know, attribute, you know, whether you're a 67, whether you're a 99, whatever the case may be. And today we started to see some of those ratings really roll out. Most notably was Paolo Banchero at a 78 overall. I think the same as Jabari Smith Jr. Jabari Smith Jr. also at a 78. And then I think Chet Holmgren came in around like a 77, 76.
Yeah, 77.
And then you got guys there like Keegan Murray, you know, Jaden Ivey kind of rounding out the top of the rookie rankings there for 2K. I have the ratings here in front of us, Luke. I'll just kind of go through these briefly. Last season, Luke and I had an episode where we really broke down every player's 2K ratings, and we went into a lot of depth with that. Right now, I don't know. It's because like if the game hasn't come out yet, I'm assuming I haven't really been paying a lot of attention to 2K. We talked about this on our last episode. But like Paolo specifically, we don't have all of his, you know, individual attributes yet. So I don't feel the need to go through all of this. But I just want to go through like the Magic overall. So number one on the team, Wendell Carter Jr. at an 83.
Wendaddy. We
all agree with that. That's pretty fair. Franz Wagner at an 80. I'm pretty much good with that. But then we've got Mo Bamba at a 79. Cole Anthony a 78. Jonathan Isaac a 78. Paolo Banchero a 78. Markel Fultz a 77. Jalen Suggs a 75. Chuma Okeke a 75. Moritz Wagner a 75. Terrence Ross a 75. Gary Harris a 75. RJ Hampton a 73. Bol Bol a 71. Admiral Schofield a 69. Nice.
Nice.
Devin Kennedy with a 67. And then Caleb Houston and Kevon Harris have not been added to 2K yet, and they don't have ratings yet.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything that stuck out to you on that? Like anything really egregious to you?
Egregious, I don't know. I will say, and I don't know if this was like the beginning of last year when these ratings happened or if it was at the end of 2K22, but seems like the biggest jump by far was Franz Wagner, which we are not shocked by. He was a 74 last year and now is getting his up to rating up to an 80. So that's pretty nice. Nice to see that at least 2K is recognizing that Franz was one of the best.
How recently do you think Franz's overall has been updated?
I don't like in 2K22.
No, 2K23. Like, do you think this, he was an 80 like this time last week?
Oh,
or
right.
Do you think his most recent Eurobasket performances, they're like, oh snap, we got to up Franz's overall.
Maybe one. Maybe it was a 79 to an 80.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think like 78, 79
also, do we trust that like 2K is that in tune? Like, I give him credit for being a little in tune, but I don't know if they're over there checking the Eurobasket stuff. You know what I mean?
I mean, not much else.
We would
going
probably
on.
Say that we would have personally bumped him up after his Eurobasket performances. But I don't know. Is there anything there that you find to be egregious at any point in terms of like comparatively or just where they're at in general?
I just feel like Mo Bamba as the third highest rated Magic player feels a little weird. Obviously, they're giving him a ton of credit for his like 3-point percentage and like right. his rim protection, like his blocking. That's got to be bringing that up like a ton, I would say. But yeah, I mean, him being rated higher than like Cole Anthony, I mean, what Jonathan Isaac hasn't played in 2 years, so it's kind of like
what's Bamba's rating right now?
I don't really know what's Bamba's a 79.
Okay, last year, again, preface this again with saying, I don't know if this is the end of 2K22 or the start. Regardless, Mo Bamba was a 76, so he was like tied for third, essentially, or fourth, actually. There's a few different players, but he was the same overall as Robin Lopez. Robin was also a 76.
Yeah, I mean, shooting 38% from the three-point line is certainly going to help you there.
And
I mean,
blocking
shots.
He's
at 81 three-point percentage there. Yeah, I wasn't able to see this from 2kratings.com. I wasn't able to see like the real individual attributes right. for each player that was there. But I'm sure his block shot is 85 plus, somewhere yeah. around there. Now, if you want to throw like basketball IQ in there and consistency, that kind of stuff,
post offense,
that's where you would, yeah, post offense. I mean, post defense. I mean, he's really not a post defender. He but most of those blocks last year were help side blocks, just kind of rotating. Now Wendell, we know the post defense is certainly should be up there, but. Yeah, beyond that, nothing really agreed.
What
just Paolo a 78. J.I. is a 78, which I'm just like, what are you going to do with J.I.? I think at one point J.I. was like an 80.
He was an 80 last year.
He hasn't played in a couple of years. You don't really know what you're going to get out of him at this point, but I'm fine with a 78. If he comes back and he's like Jonathan Isaac of old, like to me that's a like the defense alone, he's got to be like
what was
83, 85, somewhere around there.
What was Chuma's rating? Do we have it?
Chuma is a 75. So Jalen, Chuma, Moritz, Terrence, and Gary. To me, that's egregious. All of those guys being clumped together is pretty crazy. They're all a 75.
Jalen was a 77 and 22, and Chuma was a 75.
Yeah, that makes sense. To me, it's like, Moritz Wagner, Terrence Ross, and Gary Harris all being a 75 just feels weird.
Yeah.
Like, to me, Gary should be, like, closer to, like, a 77. Terrence, it's, like, Terrence is obviously getting discredited because of the season that he had last year. Understandably so, but I just feel like he's still better than a 75. I feel like he's a 77.
Who'd you say?
78.
Who?
Terrence.
Oh, Terrence, yeah. Sorry. I was just looking at these ratings. It's kind of wild that this says Gary Harris last year was a 73. How is that?
Yeah, I don't know how the dude shoots like 38% from the 3-point line. I mean, his 82 his 3-point rating is an 82, which is literally the best on the entire team. So, and he has a perimeter lockdown badge, which, I can understand that, but a 75 for Gary just feels low.
Yeah.
Don't really like that. And, RJ at a 73, Bol Bol at a 71. That feels high, honestly. Admiral Schofield at a 69, Devin Kennedy, 67. I know Devin wasn't happy about the 67, but, We'll see what happens.
He's played 13 games. That's it. Is what it is.
Yeah, he played, you know, limited amount of
games.
They
got nothing to go off
really
of.
Really a specialist.
Sample size, too small.
Right. Right.
But that's why 2K.
Caleb Houston, Kevon Harris. I would expect Caleb to be like a 70, you know, once he's in the game. Kevon Harris, don't really know what to expect there.
Yeah. No, I was just going to add here, 2K starts everybody low, right? Like, they start a lot of players at like a 96, like a lot of those star players, so they can get up to a 98 as the year goes on, maybe a 99 if they're balling out. MVPs obviously get the treatment. Same thing with all these other players. Paolo, you know, being an 80, you could easily see him.
He's a 78.
Oh, 78, sorry.
Should be an 80.
78, but they do that to give themselves some leeway so that they can give some generous tick ups there, his first like 30 ball that he has. And then by the time he drops like a 60 ball this year, they'll bump him up to like an 86. But, you know.
I tweeted this out when I saw people, because like Paolo's rating, I think, came out yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, or some of the ratings came out yesterday, and everyone was freaking out on Twitter. And I tweeted, I stopped taking NBA 2K seriously when 2K did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they clearly don't take it seriously. They know that they can put minimal effort into these games every year with minor updates. People are still going to buy it. People are still going to pay VC and all this kind of stuff. So, like I said on the last episode, until we all stop buying VC and buying 2K every year, 2K is just going to continue to do what they do every single year. The fact that like Ronnie 2K is still the face of 2K is like, that's really the best that we can do. Wow. That's the best ambassador that we can have for the game at this point. Really strange. Like, let's get Kenny in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody loves Kenny. Make Kenny maybe he's been approached about this, but make Kenny the 2K ambassador.
Yeah.
If they did that, I would consider buying 2K.
Yeah.
But Ronnie, you know, neither here nor there. I know DeMarcus Cousins isn't a fan of him, so whatever. Not going to make a big deal about these 2K ratings.
Well, we just did. Because
they're meaningless.
But yeah.
Yeah.
We gave them their own segment.
7 minutes about it. Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, it's the off season.
You gave them a segment last week, too. You hate 2K.
I really do. I hate, it's just become this thing where we're just going to put out a game every single year just to make money. Like, the love of the craft is gone, Luke. It's just, I've seen this in
for the good
in
of the
all
game.
Of my favorite video game. Yeah, for the good of the game, for the love of the game. Just all across the board. I've seen it affect all of like my most favorite games ever. I used to love 2K. I used to love the Assassin's Creed games. We're really going off on a tangent here, but like the Call of Duty games for a long time, they were just turning those out every single year, just putting out like crap games at times, just to put a game out there, just to make money. Used to see these major like game developers take like 4 and 5 years before they would release another game. And then the game would come out, everybody would be so hyped about it, and the game would be amazing. And you just never get that anymore. I'm trying to remember the last time like a console like release had like a AAA title that I was just like blown away by. And it's been a long time. I can't even remember one. So yeah, I get very passionate about people just releasing crappy video games every year because that's just what everybody does now.
It's true.
All right, we're going to go ahead and shout out our patrons before we talk about Franz Wagner. If you have been living under a rock or you are new to the show and you're wondering how can I help financially support the Six Man Show to allow them to do great things like giveaways and upgrade equipment and just overall make better quality content for our listeners, you can find us at patreon.com/thesixmanshow. At patreon.com/thesixmanshow, we have 3 awesome tiers with a variety of different benefits that you can choose from, again, to help financially support the show. One thing, if you're not a patron, if you join right now, you will be shouted out on our new episode, our next episode. We shout out our brand new patrons on every episode. And then if you're really feeling froggy, you really want to help us out, if you sign up as a Hall of Fame tier patron, we will shout you out on every episode. Like I'm about to shout out Court Cousins, Armin, Carson Tulo, Jonathan Borges, Norm L., Magic Player History, Bailey, Wiffle, Michael Salapong, Franz Goated for Show, Ryan Singh, The Distract, I'm Ron Burgundy, Pierre A., Dylan Holden, Mr. Mikey, Lil Penny, Drum, Danimal, Dutto 15, Bobby Skinner, Nate Donley, Goaty 93, and Teddy Sylvia, Luke's mom. Thank you guys so much for the support. You liked that Ron Burgundy, didn't you?
I did. I did. You rehearsed that, don't lie.
Pretty nice. Yeah, sweet. Okay, Luke, let's talk about our boy Franz Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you've been watching the ESPN broadcast, his name might be Franz Wagner. It might be Franz Wagner. It might be Franz Wagner. It just depends. But they certainly don't know how to say Franz Wagner, which is the correct pronunciation of his name. So since the last time that you guys heard from us, Germany and Franz have played like three games, actually. They played Saturday and Sunday. They played today on Tuesday. We'll talk about those games right now. So on Saturday, Germany had a win over Bosnia and Herzegovina, 92-82. In that game, Luke, Franz had 18 points, 6 of 13 from the floor, 2 of 4 from the three-point line, 4 of 4 from the charity stripe, 5 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. On Sunday, I was driving to church watching this game. They had a win over Lithuania in double overtime. I got to watch the first half. Then I had to go into church, and then when I came home later on that evening, I watched the rest of the game. In a double overtime thriller, 109-107. In this game, Franz had 32 points. He had 18 points in the first half. It was electric, 12 of 20 from the floor, 4 of 7 from behind the arc, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. And then on Tuesday, this was earlier today when we're recording, they had an 80-88 loss to Slovenia, their first loss of Eurobasket. Franz had his worst game of the tournament so far, 8 points, 2 of 7 from the floor, 2 of 5 from the three-point line, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 3 turnovers. Luke, in this game, Luka had 36 points. Their next and final group stage game is going to be on Wednesday. So this is obviously before you all are listening to this. That game's going to be at 2:20. And then their next game will most likely be Saturday. That is going to be September 10th. So, Luke, what did you think of Franz and Germany's performances from this past weekend?
Well, he is just, he's incredible. He really is. It was unfortunate that, you know, he had kind of the off game that he did against Slovenia, but with his other games, he was able to make up for it. I mean, the fact that he had that game and still at this point when we're recording this, he's still averaging 16.5 points a game and 5 rebounds, 2 assists, basically. It speaks volumes about him. I think everybody, obviously we're biased, but I think we can see it and everybody can start to see it too. That Franz Wagner is just special. And I really appreciate Eurobasket getting us through these last few weeks, really, because without it, we don't get to see Franz Wagner play. We don't get to see, a lot of times when players are progressing through the summer, you don't get to see the finished product. We feel like we're able to kind of see Franz get better in real time. And just through his offseason and through Eurobasket, you know, obviously you had like the pre-tournament stuff, you know, that led up to this point, just able to get glimpses of Franz and to see him play full games. It's just been a lot of fun. And I think that I will forever appreciate Eurobasket and the tournament being put on in general, because it does give you a chance, especially if you have a young blossoming player like Franz. You get to see him just get better. And it's something that, like, they discount Summer League because of the talent there, and rightfully so. We all know that. But with the Eurobasket, like, these are hoopers. Like, Dragic in international play is a hooper. Patty Mills international play is a hooper. Like, a lot of people just in general international play are very good, and you get to see it put on full display. Even NBA players who maybe not, you know, aren't as good. Schroeder gets to take the reins of Germany, pretty much. Debate that if you want. He is at this point, but he gets featured and you get to see a look at Schroeder. But, you know, then you get to see Franz, and Franz has just been crushing it in his role, knows his, you know, lane. Maybe he knows his lane a little too well, but I'm sure we get into that.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
So you touched on his averages. Right now, through four games in Eurobasket, Franz is averaging 16.5 points per game. Are you ready for these splits? 51% from the floor, 47% from the three-point line, 100% from the free throw line.
Wow.
4.8 rebounds, 1.8 assists, 1.3 steals.
Does it say how many free throws he's like averaging a game, like attempts?
I think he's like 6 of 6 from the floor or something.
Okay,
like that.
So it's not a huge...
No, I'm sorry. So it's a total, 10, probably somewhere around 3, I would guess, like 2 or 3. It was 4 versus Bosnia and Herzegovina. It was 4 against Lithuania. Yeah. It was 2 today against Slovenia.
Okay.
So it might be there. I didn't pull up like the free throw attempts per game.
Yeah.
And that's just the last 3 games. That's not
right.
The first game that they had against France. So I'm not totally sure there, but 51, 47, 100% right now. That's absolutely bonkers. Like 50, 45, 100% club for Franz Wagner, 4 games in Eurobasket.
Yeah. He's a stud.
You would like to see him get, with numbers like that, you would definitely like to see him get some more field goal attempts.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt.
Let him get the ball a bit more.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the issue. We talked about it, right? Like I said it last week.
Yeah.
International play is very much like a seniority thing. That's why, Schroeder, like I said, gets to really call the shots. But Franz, man, he's just going to do what you ask of him. I think there really is only so much he can do, but he's making the most of it. That's for sure. He's garnering attention everywhere. Dirk had a really cool quote about him. Sam Vecenie, I believe of The Athletic, still had a quote about him as well, just like praising him and for what he's able to do and his abilities on the court. It's really cool to see him get all this attention.
So let's really quickly, let's talk about just like Germany as a whole and just like their chance to like really make a run in this tournament, and then we'll talk about like where we've seen Franz like really improve, because like sort of some of it sort of feels like people are just now finding out about Franz.
Oh, for sure.
And we'll talk about that in a second, but like for me, and sort of like Franz's limited role offensively, I mean, he's the second leading scorer on the team, so I don't know how much you can say it's limited, but we all feel like he needs the ball more. And today against Slovenia, at some points it was like, Franz, you just need to go and get the ball. Like, good things happen. And this is going to sound like a shot at Dennis Schroeder, but good things just happen in general for Germany when the ball is not in Schroeder's hands. Like, when it's Franz or it's, Ost or any of these other guys and the ball is like moving from side to side, like they're getting like really good looks most of the time. But when Dennis just decides to pound the ball, like in like just dribble and dribble and dribble and then try to make a play for himself, Germany just gets like stuck in the mud offensively. The offense really gets gummed up. You know what I'm saying? So I know Luke hates that term, so I had to say it. But I do feel like if Germany has a real chance to make a run at this tournament, like two teams that are one like in the top five in terms of favorites, Slovenia and France. They beat Slovenia like 2 weeks ago in a friendly, or a week and a half ago in a friendly. They already beat France in this tournament, to start the group stage. And now they were like right in this game into the last few minutes against Slovenia. And they really didn't play well at all. Like, you could argue whether or not Slovenia did, but
Luka
did. It just feels like if Germany is going to... Luka certainly did.
Luka is Slovenia, so Slovenia did play well.
Hey, Dragic also played really well today. Yeah. I mean, he kind of put the game away for Slovenia.
He did.
But if Germany is going to have a deep run in this tournament, Franz is going to have to be more involved than he already is.
Yeah. I just don't know that we get it. I don't know that it's going to happen. I think that Germany's sitting back saying the same things, right? Like, we didn't play that great. We were still like I don't think Germany's going to be like, we have an issue, right? Like, at the end of the day, Franz is second leading scorer on the team. He's playing well, relatively. And, you know, maybe they just don't think there's an issue. And to be fair, there might not. I mean, a lot, you know, some of this could just be that, you know, we want, as Magic fans, Franz to just be featured and be the feature guy just to see. But the reality is, at the end of the day, I really think Franz is like a number two, like just in general. Like, I don't know that I ever think that Franz is going to be a number one. So part of me is like, yeah, it'd be cool if he'd be featured on Germany, but I just don't know that it's realistic, like, for us to think that he's going to be a number one, you know, when it's all said and done. I'm not sold on it. Obviously, it's very early in his career, but he just seems like he has all the characteristics of a number two guy. He's never going to be irritated about a guy getting more shots than him or featured more than him. He just stays in his lane, and whatever you ask him to do, he's going to do it.
To me, he's like the highest level two kind of guy that you can get. Like, saying that he's a number two
potentially is what you mean, right?
Right. Or, like, yeah. Yeah, like potential, like not right now, obviously,
right? Yeah, yeah.
But he could potentially be like the highest level two kind of guy. Like, to me, he could be every bit as good as like a Chris Middleton. I think he could even be better than Chris Middleton. Like, Chris Middleton is a decent defender, but I think Franz just has like more like playmaking chops and just more like defensive versatility. And like maybe even a little like a touch more athletic than Chris Middleton. But we just saw Chris Middleton 2 seasons ago. Now you can, you know, there were some injury stuff that happened in that playoff run that allowed the Bucks to, you know, get to the point and, you know, to win the title. But you could say that about every championship team, so essentially.
About the Bucks last year. Wasn't.
If Chris Middleton doesn't get hurt, you know, they very well could have, you know, made it to the finals and, you know, maybe won the finals. So, saying that, oh, you know, he might be a little bit better than Chris Middleton, like, that's still very good.
That's a
number two that is good enough to win you, you know, help win you a championship. Just looking, you know, if I'm, you know, the head coach of Germany, I'm, you know, breaking down some of these splits here. So right now, Dennis Schröder is leading the team in scoring 18.3 points per game, but he's averaging 35% from the floor, 20% from the three-point line, and 86% from the free throw line. Like,
well, yeah,
Franz is doing it just so much more efficient.
I mean, you talk about a guy that just shouldn't be a number one in general. It's Dennis Schröder. Like, we know who Dennis Schröder is. In those splits, like, that's what happens when a guy who has too much on his plate, that's what happens. He's got too much on his plate leading Germany, and you get splits like that. Like, they just, it is what it is, which is why I wonder, like, if we would, like, if us, like, asking for Franz to be the main guy, like, would his splits look similar at this point? You know what I mean? Like,
I will point you to December of last year. It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad. Yeah, you're right.
And that's against, you know, NBA competition. And that's something that I do kind of want to talk about. Like, sure, like, we're seeing Franz play really well, but, and I guess we can start this conversation here, is like, where do we think that he's like really improved? Like, looking at his game, comparing it to what we saw last year, for me, it's a little bit difficult to evaluate that, because although it's a very competitive tournament, it's still not, you know, a full roster of NBA guys that you're going up against every night. You know, like, they're getting ready to play Hungary, right? And as long as they beat Hungary, I think the worst they can finish is second in the group stage. If they beat Hungary and France beats Slovenia tomorrow on Wednesday, then they'll finish first in the group stage. Hungary doesn't have a single NBA player on their roster.
Yeah.
So we're, at least for me, what I'm really seeing is like the shooting, like 47% from the 3-point line. Yeah. And yes, the international line is a little bit closer than the 3-point line. But to me, that's where I've seen the most improvement from him, is knocking down like the three ball. Like in terms of like navigating the offense, like getting to the rim, I'd say that's about on par for what we saw last season from him. Now I'm not saying Franz hasn't improved. I'm not trying to say that at all, but I think it'll be a lot more evident once we get into the regular season and you have like two or three games like, oh, Franz is much better at this now and this now and these kind of things. I think just the style of play, you know, internationally, I think it's a little difficult to really like hone in on all the things that he's improved on, at least for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also still a little skewed, like his 47% from three, that's only 17 attempts so far in like the group stage. So is he a 47% three-point shooter? No. Like that's just not the case. Too small
Steph
sample
Curry
size.
47%
three exactly. Too small sample size, like you said, line a little bit closer. But what I will say that the confidence that Franz Wagner also has as well, like he had a sidestep three, I believe it was late in the game against Slovenia today, definitely second half. Had a sidestep three. I believe he pump faked his defender, kind of flew by him. He sidestepped and was able to hit the three. It just feels like any time now that I see him take a three, I think it's going in. Like he, even though it is skewed, and we've said it, and I will say that fine, but I still have more confidence that the three ball is going in. And I don't know if it's like, you know, just the international like court, like the you know, where they're playing in Germany, like that sort of stuff. Maybe he's just way more comfortable too. That honestly could be a thing. But I do think that he just like his 3-point shooting, there just seems to be more comfort. And I'll be very surprised if we don't see a sidestep three very often when it comes to the NBA season. He has really impressed me in his shot making abilities in general. Transition. He got a steal today. I believe Luka passed the ball and he was able to intercept, get in the passing lanes, takes the ball down to the other end. He gets fouled, but he's like pounding the ball to get down the court, making these long
strides.
That
was late in the game too.
That was late in the game, yeah. And he was just able to just continue to use his body to shield himself from defenders and then ultimately gets fouled at the rim. But it was plays like that where I was like, man, like he's just so confident. Like I'm getting the ball. I'm not looking for, you know, maybe a quicker guy or whatever. Like I trust my finishing abilities at the rim compared to anybody else on the court right now. And just a lot of times he exudes that confidence right now. And I'm really, really hoping that it translates to the NBA season and that he just continues to get more comfortable. I just feel like he's even gotten better through Eurobasket, which is crazy because it's not been that many games, but including those qualifier or whatever they are, like pre-tournament games, he has looked so good.
Yeah, I think, first of all, like his body, like he's obviously worked on his body this summer. He looks a little bit bigger, but the confidence, and I'm glad that you brought that up, is a very real thing. I was watching the interview that he had after the double overtime game against Lithuania, I believe that was. And if you compare that to like post-game interviews that he had like last season or even like the halftime interviews that Dante does, you know, as long as they're winning at halftime. Do they only do those if they're winning at halftime? I feel like they always do them if they're winning at halftime, but they only do the post-game if they win.
Sure.
I'm sure producer Kevin is like, how do you not know that?
I was in Nebraska and watching whatever stream I could find. It wasn't always Magic stream. That's my excuse.
Right. I'm pretty sure they always do it at halftime. They only do it after the game if they win. Somebody somewhere is going to correct me on that. I welcome that. I can't wait for that. Regardless, it was after the game and they were asking him like about the game. And again, you just compare that to interviews from last season and he just seems like a different kid. He just seems so much more confident. Like doesn't seem as like timid or as shy as he did at times with media availability last year. And I don't know, like you said, it's a comfort thing. Is it because like they're in Germany and this whole, like for them, the whole tournament is going to be in Germany, like their group stage.
I haven't seen those. Is he speaking German?
The round of 16. No, it's in English. That's what was funny to me. There's a lot of like German and from other team players that are, you know, natively English speaking, but are playing for these international teams. So even in the timeouts, it's funny because like you're hearing the coaches speak,
you know,
English. And I think you heard that in one of like the pre-tournament. You're like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Yeah.
But yeah, we speak English. Who cares? But
right.
Yeah, it was funny because I really thought like in Germany that the interview was going to be in German, but no, it was in English.
Was it ESPN?
Well, no, it was on the, it was on FIBA's site.
Oh, it
was FIBA's
that is
site,
interesting.
And it was like his,
I was going to say thing. Maybe yeah. he just like his, not his personality is different, but maybe like just like
I
his...
would have had no idea if he was more comfortable. If it was in German, I would have had no idea whether or not he
I
was
just
like
thought
more
you were out here
or
getting like closed captioning or something.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah, I mean that, yeah, that confidence aspect, I think it's real. I hope that it translates into just like demanding more, right? Like, I just don't know that it will. I just don't know if that's him, yeah. man. And I think that, you know, it's something we've obviously talked about since last season. I just don't know if it's really in his personality to demand anything.
He's so competitive, though. Like, you saw it today.
Right.
He basically forced Luka into a travel, and he's like, yeah, like screaming and stuff. Like, you can tell he has that competitive fire, but like, he just might not have that part of him that just says, like, I'm the guy. Like, I have to be the guy. I have to take over right now. And to me, that's the, when we talk about like his potential, that's the only thing to me that can hold this kid back is himself. Like, I really believe he can be as good or as effective as he wants to be.
Yeah.
What about Franz? You know, for people that, you know, maybe don't pay attention as much to the Magic, or people who are like just now getting into the Magic, what would you say, like, from what we've seen from Franz so far, that like, when we say that he's special, why is that? Why do you think that?
I think so. When he got drafted, the main thing going around, the main quote everybody said, who really didn't know too much about Franz, but basically had read all the same scouting reports.
We said it.
Right. Of course. Yeah. Because all we had really done is read those scouting reports and after the fact watch film on Franz, really, and in full, I should say, to get more familiar. But like, he's good at everything. Like, he's decent at everything. He's not elite at anything. And he just makes the lives of his teammates easier. It's something that we have clung to, like, that it is true that he makes the lives of his teammates easier. Where it has really been different, and where he has separated himself up to this, even to this point in Eurobasket, is that he is just much better at what we didn't under, like, he wasn't a good shooter necessarily at Michigan. We've seen him become, in Eurobasket, he's looked very confident at times during the NBA season. He shot the ball well. So he is just better than what we thought, like, in those areas. Like, yes, I don't know that he's just decent at everything. I think he's good at everything.
He's really freaking good at everything.
Yeah. And so it's just like elevated in terms of what his abilities are. And I think he is just one of the most complete, and like, has the potential to be like one of the most complete NBA players that there are in the league. Not to say he's going to be a superstar next year or anything like that, but everything is there. He is absolutely, he is on track to do that. And he still does make everything easier for everybody around him. And it's because he just accepts everything. He accepts what you want him to do. He's going to make the team better, and he's going to give 110%. That's something they highlighted on the stream today. Like, man, Franz Wagner, even if he's not having a good game, he is putting everything out there. He is going 100 miles an hour, doing everything to the best of his ability. And that's what you really have to admire about him.
Not only that, but it's like the basketball IQ. It's wherever he is on the floor, if it's offense, if it's defense, he knows exactly where to be. He knows where everyone else is supposed to be. On offense, he's making the correct cuts. Germany isn't really taking advantage of that skill set, that I would say. You know, they're not running a lot of you know, planned cuts for him. And if he is cutting, he's not exactly being found on those cuts. But like you said, he does everything like really well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're seeing the shooting here in Eurobasket. I think last year was 36%, so an above average 3-point shooter. The whole month of December, we basically saw a point Franz, where he can bring the ball up, he can initiate the offense. Like you pointed out today, he's running the fast break, you know, getting to the line or trying to make plays for other people. Yeah. He's a versatile defender in this tournament so far. We've seen him guard Evan Fournier. Today we saw him, you know, guarding Luka Doncic. You know, at stretches last year, we saw him guarding, you know, like a Trae Young, you know, in certain situations. So like the defensive versatility. But for me, what really makes him so special is at 6'10", maybe even 6'11", the way that he's able to move with and without the ball. And then it's the playmaking, the vision that he has. Like, having the vision is one thing, like having the right idea of where to make the pass. Having the ability to make the pass is completely different. He had this play on Sunday, or was it Sunday? Yeah, Sunday against Lithuania, the double overtime game, where he drew two defenders, and then just had this slick little dump-off pass to Theis. When I saw it, I could not believe that a kid his size, moving as well as he does, is able to make that read and to make that pass. So now people are finding out about Franz Wagner, and that's why, again, it's the dead part of summer, especially for the NBA, but like really kind of sports in general. Things are starting to ramp up again with college football coming back and NFL football starting this Sunday, which I'm very excited about. But you're just seeing all this talk, you know, around Franz Wagner. You mentioned Dirk Nowitzki talking about him. You mentioned, you know, Sam Vecenie. But everybody, like, you know, in the that is paying attention to Eurobasket, the big takeaway is just like, this kid is really freaking good. And I'm hoping that he's going to just use this as like a launch pad for his confidence. Yeah. Just take all of this into the next season with the Orlando Magic, because, man, if this kid just like keeps improving, he's really, really special. And I don't see anything in his way except him not telling himself that he's the best player on the floor at times and just going and getting the ball and doing whatever he wants, because unless you're throwing a double at him at this point, you can't stop him. And just been a ton of fun to watch, and excited to see him through the rest of Eurobasket. Again, I think Germany has a real chance to make a deep run in the tournament, especially if they lean on Franz a little bit more offensively. But yeah, he's just been so much fun. I'm glad this guy is on our team. The fact that we have Franz Wagner and Paolo Banchero, like, everyone else is very good, but it's like, for where we are in terms of the rebuild, it's almost like it's all a bonus.
Yeah.
Like, being roughly a little over 2 years into a rebuild, to already have a guy like Paolo and a guy like Franz, like, we are knocking it out of the park.
Yeah. I mean, this rebuild should go much faster than the general public and NBA fan expected it. So we'll see. But we're in good hands. I have no doubt about it.
Winning the first pick does not hurt, you know what I mean, when it comes to a rebuild. So had we ended up third or fourth, we'd probably be having a different conversation right now. But yeah, Paolo, Franz, the future.
It's crazy that even though we value Paolo and we understand his value, that like, he's incredible and has every opportunity in the world to be the number one on this team when it's all said and done and be that guy. It's still crazy to me that the number one pick in Paolo, and just the number one pick in general, feels to me like the cherry on top. Because we didn't get to see this team healthy last year. Like, and you have guys like Franz getting you excited about it. I mean, you touched on all of the exciting things going on, but it's crazy that, like, and it just shows how well it is going, that Paolo does feel like just like that added bonus that, oh, by the way, could be the guy that like leads this team through a championship one day.
Paolo is like, you know, I woke up, I had a cup of coffee, I'm sitting at my desk, work's going great. The kids are behaving like I'm just having a swell day. I get a promotion and then someone just comes out of nowhere with like a syringe of epinephrine just straight to my heart and just like, I'm alive. Like, it makes everything so much better. The fact that
I really thought you were going to walk in and say that somebody just walked in and gave you like $1 million. And I was like, OK, hey, this is great. And then you bring out the epinephrine. Oh, my goodness. All right. Yeah.
No, you remember, you probably don't remember this movie, but when Jason Statham was like first getting really popular, he had a movie that was called Crank. And basically, if his heart rate fell below like a certain like beats per minute, I think it would explode and he would die. So like, one of the things that he did was like inject epinephrine like right into his heart to keep his like heart rate going. So shout out Jason Statham. I know you don't listen, but that was a shout out to you. That was a little reference there. But yeah, I feel the exact same way that you do. But Luke, I feel like that's going to do it for us this episode.
Yeah, I think we're done.
So one more group stage game on Wednesday. You guys already know the result of that. You know exactly where Germany ended up in terms of. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say Germany finishes first in the group stage. I think France beats Slovenia. I think Germany beats Hungary, and I think Germany is the first team coming out of the group stage in Group B. I think that is. So they would be B1 in the tournament. But you guys will know how all of that stuff goes. Plenty of stuff to look forward to. Some more fun episodes coming your way. Again, if you want to join us for the preseason night, October 14th at 7 o'clock, the preseason finale at home versus the Cavs. You can get your tickets at fevo.me/the6man show. Again, that's Fevo, fevo.me/the6man show. That's going to do it for this episode. For Luke Sylvia, this has been Jonathan Osborne. You guys are listening to The Sixth Man Show, and we will catch you guys next time. See ya. Thanks for listening to The Sixth Man Show. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and Spotify to get new episodes downloaded directly to your phone. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to give us a 5-star rating and a review. It helps out the show a lot. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Sixth Man Show. We'll catch you guys next time. Go Magic! Let's go Magic! Let's go Magic! Let's go Magic! Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.